Good morning. Our scripture from today is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. You may be seated.
As we come to this time to pray, there are many things to be thankful for, one of which I'm very, very thankful for all of the people that serve and volunteer in our church. Also very thankful for the faith promises for missions. We are very close to our goal. We're at 72,000, and we're just praying for the 3,000 left. And then we want to pray for the expo and the Easter season as it comes up, that people will come to know Christ. We want to pray for those that are grieving. We want to pray for Dylan Quartz and for the Babe Barron family. And Gladys Knapper had a niece, I believe, that passed away. Daughter. Oh, I'm sorry. And we want to pray for her. There's so much going on right now for people. Alan Anderson had to be taken to the hospital on Friday night. And Vivian Bernard was taken to Duluth. I have no information about either, so we want to lift them up. Ashley Koscheck had surgery also this week. So let's go into a time of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you and we praise you for the hope and promise we have in your Son, Christ. We thank you for the many people in our church that serve and give in so many ways. What a blessing it is to be a part of a church that is so generous. And Lord, I thank you that the expo is coming this week, and we anticipate and look forward to your work in a mighty way. We pray that it would be a great outreach to our community and people would see Christ in the midst of all of the activities. And Lord, as we approach Easter and there's family and friends and people who will come to church, maybe that one or two times a year, we would pray that they would understand the greatness of your love for them in Jesus. And help us to invite people, Lord. And Lord, we lift up those that are grieving. We pray for Dylan Quartz and their family, Babe Barron, Gladys Knapper. All these are hard times for people when they lose a loved one. Comfort them with your peace, Lord, and your grace. And Lord, we pray for those that are physically going through tough times. We pray for Alan Anderson and Vivian Bernard. We pray for Ashley Koscheck as she recovers from surgery. Lord, we would ask your grace to be upon them and bring healing and wholeness to their bodies. And now, Lord, as we continue to look at your blueprint for our lives, and we look at the family and work, help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going through the book of Ephesians, and we've been looking at God's blueprint for our lives. And today we're looking at those two areas, the family and work, which God has a plan for in those areas. Now, as we look at these two topics, these are two hot-button topics in a way, because these issues are changing in our culture today. But I want to say this before I go any further. This is a safe place to talk about those topics, even if we don't even agree with one another. But as a church, we're committed to looking at topics with grace and truth. And sometimes we disagree. But please know that whether you agree or disagree, there's always love. There's always love in Jesus. And thus, as a church, we strive to show grace and truth, even when we don't always see eye to eye. A quick reading of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, would reveal that Jesus was always loving, even when he disagreed with people. There was always room to have a conversation with Jesus. In life, there are two areas in which God has called all of us to live on a regular basis. We live in a family, and we live at work. Those pretty much take up almost all of our time in life. The family is God's primary institution in which we learn about life and how to live life. Work is God's gift by which we fulfill our purpose and provide for our family. Today, though, these are under attack in many, many ways. They're being ignored, torn apart, and seen as obstacles to really what we want. And we've become a selfish consumer society, and it's really more about me than it is about being a blessing. And I want to encourage all of us that both of these areas, family and work, are meant to be blessings, but they're also meant for us to bless others at the same time. So we're going to look at family right now, and the family is God's first and many ways most important institution he has created. In fact, you know, what we see a lot of times is people want to take their kids and drop them off at church, and they say, this is where they will learn their religious training. But I often have to tell parents that, you know where they really learn their religious training? It's in the family. That's the first and primary place for them to learn about Jesus, is at home. Now, the church wants to come alongside the family and help the family do that, but it cannot replace the institution of the family. And so I encourage people that what you do at home will actually lead them to know God and Jesus a whole lot more than what they can learn here on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday evening. The institution of the family is very, very important to God. But the institution of the family has been, for lack of better words, under attack in America for a long time. In the last 100 years, the idea of the family has changed dramatically. We have gone from what I would say the Norman Rockwell picture of the family, sitting around the table with the turkey in the middle and mom and dad and the children and grandma and grandpa. You know the picture, right? We've gone from that to the modern family. And if you've, and I've never watched the show on TV, but I had to look it up on Wikipedia to find out what really happens in that TV show. And I'm told this from there, that it really represents three different kinds of families. The traditional family, the step or mixed family, and the same-sex family. The family has dramatically changed. And I don't believe it's the way God has wanted the family to be designed. In saying that, the family has never been perfect, though, since the beginning of the fall. Families have always had issues and problems and everything. But God has never changed the design for the family. The family is God's unique purpose for how he wants children to be raised. And what is that design? The design was established from the very beginning in Genesis 2:24. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We learn from Genesis 1:28, it's a very vital and important union. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In other words, God's blueprint designed for the family is this: a man and a woman having children and then being stewards of this world. That's God's design for the family. And now you might be saying, well, that's your opinion. I have a different opinion, but I'm going to just make it really straight. The one opinion that should have authority in our lives is God's opinion. We can hold different opinions, but let's make sure that we are under the authority of God's opinion. Jesus reaffirmed this in Matthew 19:5 when he said, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one." This was and this is God's design for what is called the family. And as I said earlier, this is a safe place where grace and truth matter. So even if we hold a different view than what I just shared, God's view of the family is, let's at least show love to one another in the midst of our disagreements. You know, I love Jesus because his love was really for everyone. He was known as a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So it is possible, even though it doesn't seem that way in our world today, to actually disagree and still show love. And I think that's really what the body of Christ should aim at. So God's design for the family is at least something that we need to proclaim and present to a world that might not understand its purpose. But if I desire for you to have God's best, I must teach God's best. You know, the family is a very, very delicate thing. And a lot of times, I think we've lost what family is all about. And I love this movie clip, and I'm going to let Will know that we're going to show this clip. It's from the movie Blindside. It's about this African-American young man who really has been disenfranchised from his family. His mom has got some real issues in her life, and he gets helped, kind of taken in by this family, the Tui family. And it kind of transforms his life, but just as importantly, it transforms the Tui family's life. And so let's watch that video clip.
Let me get it, y'all.
Yeah, baby.
Let's eat. Come on.
That rebel turkey. Everyone, thank your mother for driving to the store and getting this.
Thank you, Mom.
Food and football.
Eat all you want.
Come on. Hustle, hustle. You gotta get back over.
Go ahead.
Don't take my spot.
You rushing, SJ? SJ, slow down.
No.
This is fantastic.
Oh, y'all, I forgot the potato salad. How's Ole Miss doing?
They're kicking butt. In the box. One wide receiver left for Ole Miss. One corner, number 30 out. In press coverage,
Sean, salad.
Dogs up in the box, so expecting to run. Great, Mom.
Oh, good. Thanks, Mama.
There. Yeah, Mama.
Nice little surge, but not much running inside.
Come on. The
Rebels got third and long here.
Birdsong and Mawinney on the tackle. Ole Miss 5 of 10 on third down from the 26. Third down and 6 for the Reds.
Come on, defense.
Rain is slow. Let's see if they try a pass or not. Now Turner goes in motion out of the backfield. Stay showing blitz. Here they come. Manning to throw. Runs to his right. Throws it at the feet of the...
Hey!
Whoa!
What? Mom!
But it's Thanksgiving. Wow.
Why are we eating in here?
Shh.
Shall we say grace? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings on this family. We thank you for bringing us a new friend. And we ask that you look after us on this holiday season, that we may never forget how very fortunate we are. Amen.
Amen. Let's check the score.
Up by 10.
Come on. Collins, can you pass me the green beans, please? Don't pick it with your fingers. Just take a spoon.
Did you notice something unique about the family? It was transformed by the simple fact that he wanted to sit at the table and eat there. And the mother realizes that the family had kind of broken down and had simply become all about each individual doing whatever they wanted. They didn't even pray for the meal until they sat at that table. And in many ways, that's unfortunately a description of the family today. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians does not cover every detail of what a family should look like. Again, like last week, I talked about marriage in short based on what Ephesians said. There are so many books about the family. There's radio programs about the family. Every kind of thing you could ever imagine is written about the family. Paul doesn't cover it all in here. He just kind of gives us a very quick look at what the family should be like. He talks about the role of the child. He talks about the role of the parents. So what is the role of the child? If you look at the text, the role of the child is to obey and honor. Now those words are not very popular with children, are they? To honor and obey. In most ways, they have a negative connotation, and at some point, obviously, children end up fighting against mom and dad, thinking they know better than mom and dad. But it also comes with a promise. Look at the promise that if you honor and obey your parents. It says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. It's the one commandment that comes with a promise. And I'm going to just share my hard experience as a child that it took a lot of me to honor and obey my father. I became a believer in Jesus Christ between 9th and 10th grade. And most of you know me, I love sports. I love football in particular. Well, my dad actually must have really seen something. He must have seen that I became a believer, first of all. And for whatever reason, he decided to use my newfound faith in Jesus against me. And he said, now that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that you are to honor and obey your parents, I'm telling you that you have to quit playing sports. Let me tell you, that was not an easy thing to hear. And I wrestled with it immensely. I'm not saying that my dad was right in what he's doing, but I made the choice to quit. I didn't get to play sports again until I went to college, when I was on my own. Now, I chose to obey my father. I'm not a hero because I did that. I simply wanted to do what the Bible taught, which was not easy at that moment. I know that there are all kinds of what-ifs out there, And we tend to argue from the what-ifs rather than the normal. For example, if a parent says to their child, I want you to go rob a bank, there are greater authorities that speak to that too. You know, we don't do something illegal or immoral because our parents say we are to do it. Because Scripture itself, God Himself tells us that we must obey Him more than man. But the role of the child is to honor and obey their parents. I'm not saying that's easy, but that's the responsibility of a child. So what then is the responsibility of the parent? Paul writes, fathers, and I will add mothers, Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In other words, parents are not to anger their children for undue purposes. The father and or mother should do their best to give their children their best. And mostly it's about raising their children up to know the Lord. Not an easy task. And one thing I know is that you can never make a child obey you. As much as you want to say, son, obey me, it still is their choice, isn't it? It's not something you can make them do. And if you turn it into a battle, you're probably going to create more angst and more anxiety than you can. But modeling Christ and walking in Christ is far more important than winning the argument and getting your child to obey. Encouraging and believing your child causes that relationship to bloom. Every child has a God purpose for which they were born. It's really the job of the parent to help that child fulfill their purpose. Our children belong more to God than they do to us. We are given children as gifts from God. But we have 18 years to train, teach them, and help them fulfill their God purpose. Tragically, we often get in the way of having our own plans and purposes for them. And we need a lot of prayer to avoid provoking them to anger. We need to be walking out our own faith in a very real way if we want them to walk out their faith in a very real way. Family best works when parents are doing their role and children are doing their role. I'm not saying at all this is easy, and I'm not saying it's a perfect formula. I'm saying that it does require work, though. And if we can learn to do our part as parents and as children, the family can be blessed. Like I said, I'm not going to cover every aspect of the family, and I can't in a 20-minute message. So I'm going to shift gears and go to work. Now, the second part of this passage deals with what I will call work. Back then, culturally, things were a little different. They had bondservants and masters. We'll just call them employees and employers for the sake of this conversation. There's a lot to be said about what work should look like. Again, there are two roles that should be served when it comes to employees and employers. One cannot make the other fulfill the role, just like one cannot make your children obey, or one can't make your parents be better parents. This is what we read for the worker. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service or people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, that he will receive back from the Lord, whatever he is, whether he is a bondservant or a free man. Workers are to obey their bosses. Do what the boss tells you to do. And why? Because they are God's provision. Your master is God's provision for your livelihood. Not only that we should do it just because God tells us, but our attitude should be one where we seek to bless our boss. Work is not this necessary evil to get to the weekend or to buy a bunch of things, to go on exotic vacations. Work is actually a gift from God by which we find our meaning and purpose as human beings. Yes, work as a result of the fall has its complications and problems. But work was designed by God for each and every one of us. Genesis 1:28, as I said earlier, says, "We are to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." We are to work. But as we see in the fall, work got bad. In Genesis 3:17-19, it says, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Work became hard at the fall. It became complicated at the fall. But work is still part of God's plan for each and everyone's life. It's still a gift from God. So the role of the employees to obey their master, their employer. Goes on to say, "Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, that there is no partiality with him." Bosses are to treat their employees with equality, dignity, and respect, with the realization that they also have a greater authority to which they are accountable to, God. That being a boss is not just the right to rule over, but is actually the opportunity to serve with. For Jesus himself said this about leadership in Mark 10:43, "But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant." Thus, a good boss, good employer, actually seeks what is best in the best interest of their employees and not just for themselves. Now, again, I want you to just think. Imagine a workplace where you have workers who really strive hard to bless by obeying their boss. But also imagine a boss who has the best interests of his employees in mind. If both parties are doing that, it's a wonderful workplace, isn't it? I realize that's an ideal thing, and I realize that there's sometimes bad workplaces, but we each have a role and responsibility. So family and work comes with responsibilities. I did not cover them all, but we need to focus on our personal responsibility in both of those areas. Family and work are both gifts from God. And they best work when we each strive to fulfill our purpose and not so much focus on what the other person should be doing. The challenge for followers of Jesus is to not buy into the world's approach of doing things, but to buy into God's way of doing things. It will go against the flow of what the majority thinks. But the only thing that ultimately matters at the end of our lives is what God thinks, isn't it? May whatever role or roles we play ultimately bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ in the family and at work. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of family, and we thank you for the gift of work. Both things that dominate our lives in so many ways. And Lord, whether we be a child or whether we be a parent, help us to do our job well. And whether we be the employee or the employer, help us to do our job well. And Lord, help people to see Jesus in us, at home and on the job. Help them to see that we're different because Jesus makes that difference in our lives. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.